analyst now on TSN across the network. Ray Ferraro. Razor, what's happening? How are you?
I'm good. Just in the airport in Ottawa and on the way to Montreal for Senators Habs tomorrow night.
Ooh, nice. Tough loss last night for the Sens.
It was. You know, it's you know, a lot of people talking today about whether Dave Cameron, the coach, should have started Craig Anderson in goal, and you know, they, or should they have continued on with Andrew Hammond? And you know, Hammond's record's flawless. He's 7-0-1. He hasn't given up more than two goals, but he started to leak some oil a little bit. And Anderson played on Sunday against Calgary, and I thought it was the right call to go to him yesterday. Now, he made a mistake on one of the goals, the second goal. He came out and tried to attack a poke check on Louis Erickson, who scored a beautiful goal. But the other two, I don't think he had, I don't think, wouldn't have mattered who was in net. But the Senators played a terrific game. They outshot Boston, I think 21, well, it was 21 for sure, but I think Boston had seven or eight shots in the second. That was the second period. They had 21 shots. That doesn't count the three goalposts they hit. I mean, they were in the game. They could have won the game easily. They played better than Boston. But the problem is when you're trying to make up all these points, when you have a slight misstep like they did last night, it just feels like an anvil fell on your head. And now all of a sudden they could have, you know, they could have gone to 3 points back. Now they're seven, and geez, there's just not very much time left.
No, 7 points back now, even with the game in hand. That was the game you needed to win. And I'm sure mentally, you know, it's going to be tough for the Senators, right? Being a former player, like, I'm sure, you know what, I know the players always, you have to go game by game, but you know certain games mean more inside a season.
Yeah, and so now what I'm really interested, Jason, to see is what will they have in the tank for tomorrow night? Like, will they come out and be dejected? Because let's face it, I mean, I would say it's 90% done that they're not going to make it. But what if Boston, who hasn't had a great year and isn't a great team, what if they stumble and lose three straight? I mean, it could happen. But if you know, if you've got the pouts on, if you're Ottawa and you feel like it's already done, you might kick away a couple of chances that you don't even know are on the table yet. So they have to find a way to pick themselves up off the mat, get at it tomorrow night, and try and get a couple of points in Montreal. And I would suspect Montreal will play pretty well because they got totally dominated last night by Tampa.
I want to ask you about that one, Ray. You know, Carey Price lights out again for Montreal, and you know, a lot of people have him as a Vezina guy and as a Hart Trophy candidate. You concerned at all with how much they rely on that goalie in Montreal?
Well, I don't think they'd. I think their preference would be not to have to rely on him so much, but he is part of the team. They're not trying to rely on him. You know, they're trying to play better. They're trying to limit shots. They're trying to score more. They just don't. And they can thank their lucky stars every morning they wake up that they have Carey Price. And he is the Vezina Trophy winner. I mean, he could go out and play with a blindfold for the last 3 weeks of the season, and he's the Vezina Trophy winner for me. The MVP is, you know, we'll go down to that debate of whether, you know, whether a goalie can win the most valuable player award. What's really kind of funny to me is that, you know, they say that, you know, like a goalie has his own award. Well, so do defensemen. They have their own award. You know, they have the Norris Trophy, but they could win the MVP. I've never been a big fan of it. However, I think, even though it's not written, I think the MVP probably in theory is for the best skater. But right now, you know, John Tavares or Carey Price, I mean, they would be at the very top of the MVP list for me.
Ray Ferraro from TSN joins us. Ray, the news today out of Toronto, Nazem Kadri, and according to Brendan Shanahan, you know, it's not a one-time thing, which I don't think anybody really expected it to be. What are you hearing? And character issues are such a gray area, because what someone deems a character issue, the next guy might not, Tyler Seguin being the case in point. So what do you make of Nazem Kadri, and do you think he'll be a Toronto Maple Leaf next season?
Well, what do I make of it? I mean, it was pretty clear that he didn't get sat out because he was 15 minutes late to a meeting. you know, in the first game. I would say most people that have been around the league for any length of time suspected that, you know, if he's sitting out a game, there was more to it than what we saw in first blush. Now, there's all kinds of stories that float around about all kinds of guys. I'm not prepared to comment on them because they're just stories. And whether it's Kadri or somebody else, you know, I come across, just in talking to people around the league, I come across lots of things that you hear, but they're just that, things that you hear right now. I do think he will be a Leaf next year.
Okay.
I don't think there's anybody on that team, maybe outside of Morgan Riley, that they wouldn't take a phone call on. You know, they're terrible. They're a brutal team. They should take calls on just about everybody. And they have the stated goal of starting a full-scale rebuild. So you have to listen. But he's 24. Now, are the issues that, you know, Shanahan referred to, are they something really concerning, or are they laziness? Are they nonconformity to the rules? You know, are they things like that you can work at? I don't know. And but I would suspect that if you were planning on trading him, you wouldn't make such a big deal out of it, so it becomes more public knowledge. I mean, you want to get as much for your asset as you can get. So my gut tells me that he'll be back in Toronto.
What's the potential on Nazem Kadri? What do you see in this player, Ray?
And sorry for the announcement here. I think they have to tell people, here's an announcement to put your left foot in front of your right foot. It's about the 100th announcement since we've started, so I apologize for that. I think Kadri's a second-line player. I think he's a second-line center. I don't think he's a number one guy. There's too many inconsistencies in his play, yet he's a really creative player. He can be a dynamic offensive player, but I don't see him capable of being a true number one center. Now, those guys are hard to get. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they're really hard to get. But defensively, he doesn't seem to have the mindset to play enough of a complete game to be a true number one. So I would have him slotted as a two.
Yeah, and you know, nothing wrong with that. You know, he's 24 years of age, and a lot of guys, right? Like, he's only played equivalent of, really, if we're doing 80 games, three NHL seasons, right? When you know, a lot of guys, when you're an offensive guy at a junior, you've talked about this, Ray. It takes a while to really understand how to play defense, because a lot of the elite skill guys are so good in junior, no coach has ever asked them to play defense.
Nobody ever asked me to play defense. Like, seriously, nobody said anything about it. So I assumed I was doing well enough as long as I was scoring, and that becomes your only focus. That's the only thing that you think about. And then you get to the American League, and there were questions about whether he was committed enough or was in good enough shape. Dallas Eakins was the coach with the Marlies, and he just ripped them one training camp. Said he was in the bottom 3 to 5 guys in the body fat composition and conditioning drills at camp. I mean, there was no secret then either. I mean, that was out in public. And so they've booted him in the rear end before, you know, hoping for more from him. They have gotten more from him. And I think they have higher expectations for him than what he's delivered. And whatever happened Saturday night and Sunday, you know, between the end of the game Saturday night and the fact that he didn't get to practice on Sunday on time, you know, that's been enough of a concern that he's going to sit out this week as well.
Ray Ferraro from TSN joins us. Ray, I look like the Oilers have a big gap down the middle. To me, if Dave Nonis and them were even considering Nazem Kadri, if you're the Edmonton Oilers, I'd contemplate it at least, because they have so little center depth in the organization. It's something I would look at. What do you think?
Okay, so that's fine. Go ahead and look at them. Who are you trading? You're trading one of your 22 or 23 or 24-year-olds.
Yeah, I'd start with Yakupov, and I'd have to add something more to the puzzle, obviously.
Well, I don't know. Maybe that would happen, but if I'm the Oilers, I'm sitting there with the third draft pick or the second draft pick, or, you know, I mean, if they finish where they are and they draft in the top two, there's no reason for them to make any trade for a centerman, because they're getting one. And if they draft third, maybe it's Dylan Strome.
Yeah, but he's right. You know, they're getting one, but not to help them next year, right? Like, that's a guy who helps them maybe if it's Dylan Strome 2 years down the road.
But you're treading water in a lot of cases. If you're, by the way, Dylan Strome is going to be more than a year or two.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I mean, like that's the whole point of this thing we've talked about all year, Jason. It's nice, great. You keep them aside for 1 year. You don't want 20-year-olds in your lineup. You just don't, and not eight of them. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. I mean, they can go ahead and do it and put 20-year-olds in your lineup till the cows come home, and you're going to get the same results. And so, you know, they say insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So unless it's McDavid or Eichel, from everything that I've seen and everything I've been told, there is a significant drop-off from 2 to 3. However, if those top two guys weren't in the draft, everybody would still talk about this being a terrific draft. But there's a big drop-off. So if you trade, if the Leafs would be interested in, like, in your deal, then you're going sideways a little bit because you're getting rid of a forward that has now started to play well for you, who's a top six forward for you, and you're bringing in a relatively the same age player. So do you get better by that? I don't know.
Yeah. I just think a center iceman's more valuable. And I'll be honest, right? I'm not one who's like Yakupov's still not very productive for my books overall. I know a lot of people are high about his game. I'm just not one. I'm not in that category, I'll be honest.
So I would suspect that if Nazem Kadri is on the trading block, the Leafs aren't looking for Nail Yakupov.
Yeah, fair enough.
They're looking for one of those other guys. And if I'm Edmonton, I'm not doing that.
Oh yeah, no, definitely not Eberle. No,
because I don't. Well, yeah, because I don't think you gain anything by it.
No,
you get a guy with upside for a guy with upside. And what do you believe is, you know, what do you believe can be the future of each of them? To me, you're just spinning your wheels with a deal like that. And they've got enough other ways to attack this. And it would be premature to talk about that because you've got to get, I mean, right now, as everybody's well aware, it doesn't matter what you think because nothing can change between now and the third week of June. And when you get after the Stanley Cup final and then draft picks can be traded and, well, then you start getting into busy time and we'll see what they do with all these draft picks. Are they going to use them? Are they going to try and package them for collateral for an older player? Or, you know, as when I say older player, I'm not talking about a 31-year-old. I'm talking about that mid-range, mid-age guy, you know, 24, 25, 26. I guess you're talking about Kadri, but would you move one of the lower first-round picks for a player of that age? Maybe you might.
Oh, yeah.
Further along down the path.
Sure.
But you've got to get somebody to agree to it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of ways they can go in Edmonton. They've got a lot of ammunition to try and attack different deals a different way than they've had in the past. And you just have to see what becomes available on the other side because you can have lots of great ideas. And if the teams you're calling don't think it's such a great idea, then you don't get anywhere.
Ray Ferraro joins us. Ray, one other guy who you got to watch last night, Ryan Spooner for the Boston Bruins, a second-round pick in 2010. On a little bit of a hot streak now, 13 games with the Bruins, you know, scored twice again last night. What do you like about this player? What do you see him as, you know, moving forward in that organization?
Well, it's the first time I've seen him live. He's little, like really little. And that was a bit of a surprise to me. Like he's not tall and he's slight. He's tricky with the puck. He can move the puck. I mean, there's no way he's a number one center. The problem a player like Spooner has is unlike a lot of guys that can play up and down the lineup, I don't see that for him. You know, I see him kind of in the two hole. The problem is then you're competing at the two hole. And if they have another centerman in that spot, like, for example, if Krejci's back and returns, like, you're not playing Ryan Spooner with Milan Lucic. They've got Brad Marchand that plays with Bergeron, and they have Lucic who plays with Krejci. So that leaves Spooner on a third-line role, and you would you would want somebody that has a more complete game. So he's in a little bit tough in Boston, but he's certainly not doing himself any harm here with the production that he's had. And, you know, it was Lucic and these two young guys, Spooner and Pasternak, last night. And, you know, it was a bit of an odd line, but they had some really good moments. They really did. I mean, those kids can skate. The young guys can skate. And Lucic really moved well last night. And when he does like that, when he plays like that, he's, as we know, he's a bloody bulldozer out there. He's really tough to handle.
One last one, Ray. The Nashville Predators lost six in a row, of course, got a victory. Just something, eventually you were going to have a streak like that, or is there cause to be concerned at all about the Preds?
Why don't, I mean, here's the biggest thing with an NHL season is, you know, it's so bloody long that it's impossible not to have a bad 2 weeks or 3 weeks somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, they had some injuries. They got some guys back. It's always nice to get guys back. Unfortunately, the team generally takes a little bit of a dip as those guys get reclimatized to the game. So I think there's been some of that. Are there concerns? I would say they had played so well and had scored so much, and Pekka Rinne had been so good that any of their other problems kind of got swept under the rug, or any of their other potential problems got swept under the rug. Now I look, you know, the same issues that were there 3 weeks ago, Jason, are there now. They've just kind of reared their ugly head a little bit, and that would be their inexperience as far as being in a playoffs or you know, the guys that are in top roles for him. Philip Forsberg, he's not had any experience at this level in that role. Seth Jones is another one. They just got Ryan Ellis back. Roman Josi is another one. I mean, he plays 25 minutes a game. So when things get tight, how do they respond? Well, they stumbled around a little bit, but they'd still be a really good team. They'll be a really good team come playoff time, but they're also one of those teams that I look at and go, man, if they match up with Minnesota in the first round and Minnesota beat them, would you be just totally shocked? I don't think so.
No.
You would say, you know what, they had a really good year and they made lots of great strides, but, you know, that was a learning year for them. And so, we'll have to see how it plays out, but I'm not altogether shocked that they hit a roadblock like they did.
Ray, always good to catch up with you. Hopefully there's no more announcements and you get on your flight safe and sound, and we will talk to you next Wednesday.
I think there will be announcements till the second I get on this plane.
Could you just take the train to Ottawa or from Montreal? Is there a short scenic train?
I don't know if it's scenic, is it?
I have no idea. Brownlee's in here is telling me that it is. So, he's been around. Around more than I have.
Yeah, you know what? During the season, I'm not much of an. Oh, there's another announcement for the love of God. I'm not much of an adventurer during the season. It's like creature of habit, man. Book a flight, get on a plane, move to the next place.
Well, that's totally fair.
And somebody will say, like, why didn't you do that? And I'm like, never even thought of it.
Makes sense. Hey, makes sense. Creature of the habit is good, my man. We will talk to you next Wednesday.
Enjoy, guys. We'll talk to you.